Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's the 0-2 pitch, and a ball hit on a line to right. He's got it, and that's the ball game. The Marlins have beaten the Milwaukee Brewers 16-0.
Let's do this!
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, Marlins Radio Network. Oh yeah, it exists. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman, here on The Fan. Chuck, I generally like you as a person. I think that I feel good about the direction of the show. I think things are going well. If you make any jokes about how this is like a football score or the Marlins missed the extra point, I will walk off the set today.
Yeah,
that's not funny.
Like they were two touchdowns and two-point conversions away from sending it to overtime.
Well, the Marlins missed an extra point. Final score 16-0.
All right. About 6:02. Come on now. Save it at least for 7:02.
Well, at least it was a two-possession game, everybody.
It was a bad night to be there. Saw it firsthand. Although, stayed to the very end.
Our friend Cody Grant, who has moved on, but kind of not really, old producer here. Mm-hmm. I did see him tweet at one time it was 15 love.
Oh, okay.
Marlins. I thought that was clever.
Well, here's what happened.
The doing the football scores and baseball scores needed to end a long time ago.
Here's what happened. The game got to 8-0. So I was, I did the on-deck show. I was there doing the pregame interviews and all that. And then I went to the stands, sat in the stands. Okay. Then we decided to go to the Ceiling Experience. You ever go to the Ceiling Experience?
Yeah, but I don't like that place exists because it used to be a really hidden secret bar. Real dumpy bar.
Mm-hmm.
It was like somebody's basement got transported into the third floor of Miller Park and was turned. It was really weird. There were like games. It was air conditioned. So on hot days, I'd like to go there. So I have not been to the Ceiling Experience because I'm still boycotting that bar's gone.
Oh, well, I mean, you got to get over that part because
it was an air conditioned place. When you were there in the middle of summer.
But the Ceiling Experience is amazing.
Okay.
It's amazing, man. And you're not going to leave there with a dry eye, that's for sure. So what it is, basically, it's a 10-minute video.
You went up there and cried?
Well, I mean, let me tell you what it is here. It's a 10-minute experience. You go in there, and it tells the history of the Milwaukee Brewers, how Bud Selig saved the franchise, how he moved the franchise from Seattle to here. And it was incredible, man. You got to see it. It's been there for a while, and I can't believe it's the first time I've ever gone in there to check it out. Anybody who has seen it will know what I'm talking about here. It's amazing. It is. It's amazing. And it's kind of like a 10-minute film on the history of the Brewers in a panoramic setting. Wow, it's incredible. So anyway, the point is we decided to go over there. And you're laughing.
Because I think it's funny because with all that we talked about yesterday, about Travis Shaw and Keston Hira and first place, the game was so bad. The Brewers game was so bad last night that during the game, you went and watched a video on Bud Selig.
It's just not any other video. And again, people out there can understand how cool this was. It was 8-0. We went in there. It was 8-0. Fifth inning. Game was over. So got in there. Went and watched this video. The video was over. Checked my phone just for the hell of it. I said, all right, checked my phone. It was still the fifth inning, and it said 15-0. I'm like, Holman, you got to be kidding me. So I missed the. I just missed the back end of that 11 run inning to watch this video and be in there, and I got out and still it was great. I mean, I don't regret that at all. Saw that whole ceiling experience, man. Again, people who have not gone, check it out. People who really want to know the franchise history and where this team came from and how the team almost lost the team in 1995, which we all know about. But I mean, there might be people who are maybe too young to remember the voting and all that. And you know, this team was all ready to go to Charlotte. And I got out. It was 15-0. So it's like, oh man, because I'm doing post game stuff too. So I'm waiting for the game. At that point, you're just thinking, God, let's just get this game over.
Well, it was a 37-minute inning.
Yeah, just incredible.
Where the Marlins put up 11 runs. The Marlins, not a good home run hitting team, but they got three off Chase Anderson right away, and then they just poured it on off Taylor Williams, off Corbin Burns. I mean, whatever the Brewers tried to do, it was not successful. Yeah. The 11-run fifth inning.
Yeah.
16-0 the final.
Yeah, thank God. I mean, the game ended right around 10, I'd say. And I mean, just chalk it up as one of those nights where, as I put out on Twitter, if you're going to get your ass kicked, you might as well sit back and enjoy it. And that was last night. So it's only counts as one loss and all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
It's one game.
One game. Bounce back tonight. Good thing about baseball, they bounce back tonight. But you know, I wasn't terribly upset after. I mean, of course, you don't want to waste a night like last night. I got something out of it, at least, watching the Sealy experience. But it's on to tonight. They're back at a first-place tie with the Cubs, who won last night.
You know, they talked about this on the Fox Sports Wisconsin broadcast. A night like that, it's easier for a night like that to wash away.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, it got a little fun at the end. Hernan Perez was pitching, and he was doing different windups and imitating Alex Claudio.
Throwing 68 miles an hour.
Then did a big leg kick and had a 1-2-3 inning. So there's, you know, you walk into the locker room and you laugh a little bit and, you know, okay, we move on to the next game. It's easier to lose a game like that than it would be those extra inning games the Brewers have been playing a lot on Saturdays for some reason. It seems like, I think, four of the last five Saturdays they've gone deep into extras. But when you grind out a game like that and lose a close one, that might stay with you the next day or the next couple of days. But when you lose 16-0, I mean, it's pretty easy to wash that one away, and hopefully the Brewers can do that tonight when they have the big return of Jimmy Nelson on the bump.
So we're walking out. About an hour and a half after the game, I was walking out and my car. You know, Shannon was there. She goes, guess what? I just saw Manny Pena and Freddy Peralta and all. I said, well, those guys aren't exactly the toast of the town tonight. Yeah, I mean, they just lost 16-0, so not a big deal tonight.
Freddy Peralta's birthday yesterday.
Yeah.
Jimmy Nelson's coincidentally tonight.
Yeah. Travis Shaw had a base hit last night, his first at bat. Got up and no booing. There were no booing.
There was never going to be booing.
No, but I mean, anybody who thought that they were going to, they said that the, you know, people on Twitter, some of these tough guys last night, there was none of that.
I'm sucked into Twitter. I probably saw 100 people tweet. And I'm not kidding on that number. 100 people tweet, if anyone boos Travis Shaw on his first at-bat, revoke your fan card.
Yeah.
I saw 0 tweets saying, you know what, I'm going to go to the game and boo Travis Shaw. Now, if Shaw were to struggle over a handful of games, then he might start to get booed a little bit. But that would be based on production. Oh. You're not just going to boo the presence of Travis Shaw. And what a night for Travis Shaw when there's absolutely no pressure. We thought there was going to be a lot of pressure because, yeah, you're essentially replacing Keston here in that lineup. But when your team's down 16-0, I mean, work on anything you need to at the plate, man. Nobody, any 2-for-3 night, I think, with a walk. I mean, do whatever you need. There's no pressure on him.
Yeah. Did they give a base hit on that last one, the misjudged fly ball to right field?
They ended up giving him that.
Oh, God. Okay. Man,
that should have been a routine can of corn.
It should have been, yeah. And he cruised into second base, but. Yeah, there was no booing. He came to the plate. It was
so
just like any other.
Of that hit, he upped it to 174.
He was just like any other Travis Shaw at bat. There was none of the booing and, you know, this stuff that guys were hearing. And, you know, he held a little press conference before the game. We'll play some of that today. And said that, you know, was asked about Hira and the negative reaction that he, you know, he's got on social media and all that about, you know, on talk shows, our show, Bill's show and all that. People calling in and say, giving the negative reaction over the Keston Hira thing. And He just said it was unfortunate. It's unfortunate for fans, but he can't really worry about it. That he's got to go out there and he's trying to straighten himself out and get himself back. He says he knows the productive hitter that he can be. It's just that he looks at it as a starting. It's a new day. It's like if you in golf, when you golf the first nine and you struggle, you always look at the back nine as a new day. Well, he looked at yesterday as being his opening day. It's a reset, a restart of his season. Yesterday was opening day for him, and he says no, whatever happened the first half, I can't look at that. It's a new day for me.
We will hear from Travis Shaw in the Brew Crew Review coming up in just a couple of minutes. But the 16-0 loss for the Brewers last night, their worst home loss since 1985. That was a game against the Oakland A's, where the A's came in and beat them at County Stadium 19-3. I don't know if you remember that one.
I probably was there. I don't.
Teddy Higuera got the start. Went one inning, gave up 5 earned runs.
Now, see, that'd be odd. That they would lose a 19-3 game with their best pitcher. Probably their best pitcher of the 80s. Their best starting pitcher of the 80s, Teddy Higuera.
They lost.
Yeah.
19-3.
Did it say what month that was?
1985. That would have been, May 15th.
Okay. I was a senior in high school.
I was 361 days old.
Wow, okay. I was just ready to graduate Martin Luther High School.
Yeah, I was making my first turn around this planet.
Yeah.
At that time. It's their worst loss since 1998, a game in Cincinnati where they lost 17-0.
That was like the dark era of Brewers again.
The 11 runs were the most they've given up since a 12-run inning in that game. So the Reds had a 12-run sixth.
Yeah.
This is the dark era of Brewers baseball. Pretty much any time they had that Notre Dame diamond logo, I mean, I kind of checked out of the Brewers there. That was after the strike. The Brewers were terrible. I hated that logo. They got a start that day from a guy who I've never heard of, Brad Woodall.
Oh, Brad Woodall, yeah. No, I've
and
heard
he
him.
Pitched from 94 to 99.
Yeah,
so it
Brad
was
Woodall.
The dark days for me. I would have no idea who he is.
The dark days, I would say, it went from 94 to 2000.
Before
I want to say
the new stadium.
Nah, I'd say in 2002 because they lost 106 games in 2002. Everybody got fired. Wendy Seeley came out and said how it was an embarrassing season and it was never going to happen again. And they hired. They just went all out and they just turned over everybody. Hired a new GM, hired a new manager. Ned Yost came in. Doug Melvin came in. 2003 was the beginning of a little bit of an ascension with the team.
That night, do you remember Joe Hudson?
No.
Joe Hudson pitched a third of an inning and gave up 6.
No, I don't remember him.
So just a bunch of guys.
No. So this is what year, 98?
That was 1998 in Cincinnati.
Okay, now.
In Cincinnati. So, in like 30 years when the Brewers get blown out again, I'll be on the radio saying, oh, it was their worst loss since June 4th of 2019. Chuck, do you remember a guy named Taylor Williams?
So that would be your impersonation of a 64-year-old who you think is just completely tanked at this point.
No, that's my impersonation of a 64-year-old me.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a clear distinction.
You're gonna be better than that at 64, aren't you?
I don't know if I'll be alive at 64.
Oh, geez, okay.
The way that I'm living.
I don't even know what I want to be when I'm 30 years from now. So, I mean...
Taylor Williams. 8 earned runs.
Taylor Williams was
a third of an inning.
Bad is bad, man. It started with Chase. Chase Anderson back to give up the home run balls again. He got the ball rolling last night. He gave up 3 in the first four innings, Bart. And we're talking about the Marlins. They lost 16-0 to one of the worst teams in baseball. One of the worst offensive teams in baseball, too.
Yeah, no, the Marlins are they're pretty bad. They are really actually very bad. Mm-hmm. You look at their lineup last night. Curtis Granderson, former Brewer. Garrett Cooper, former Brewer. I mean, these guys are... Brian Anderson is batting third, not BA from the broadcast, but Brian Anderson's an okay player. Starlin Castro's their cleanup guy.
Yeah, he got the home run. He got the game rolling with a home run last night, two-run shot.
You look at the box score, you see H. Ramirez. You think, oh, Hanley Ramirez is still in the league? No, it's Harold Ramirez, who played right field and can't because he's the one that, you know, Travis Shaw hit right over his head. Mm-hmm. Who else they got on this team? J.T. Riddle. That's not a household name.
Well, Garrett Cooper, he was traded. The Brewers traded him to the Yankees for a pitcher that never materialized with the Brewers.
I want to say it was Tyler Webb.
I think that was it, yeah. He came up here, pitched a couple of innings, and then they said enough. I think it was 2017.
Yeah.
I think they did a reliever, and that
Webb pitched like a third of an inning, and they got him out of here.
But, I mean, that's turning out to be a bad trade.
Well, yeah, Cooper's been all right.
Yeah.
Although he might have bounced. Was there another team he was on before the Marlins?
Yeah, the Yankees.
Yeah, but I think somewhere in between.
But, I mean, the Brewers could definitely use that bat at first base these days.
I mean, he's hitting .289. He's got five bombs.
Yeah.
I guess he's doing better than our guys.
Yeah. But, you know, I ran into fans last night at walking around Miller Park, as you usually do, and I had one guy come up to me and said, you know what? You guys, I don't think, are critical enough on David Stearns in the morning. And I go, what do you mean by that? And he goes, I think Stearns deserves more criticism than he actually has for some of the bad moves he's made.
Oh, wow.
And I told him, I said, every GM, Bart, as you know, makes a bad move. You're not going to hit on everything. But he was like really critical on Stearns. He goes, well, you know, the Chris Davis move that you guys talked about this morning. And, you know, he's mentioned a few other things. But I said, man, he turned around his franchise. They went to the NLCS Game 7 last year. Where that hasn't happened here ever.
Well, I want to say two things on that one. One, last year when I tried to criticize David Stearns for trading Jonathan Villar for Jonathan Scope, I almost got run out of town.
He mentioned that trade. Okay, but I mean,
I called people Stearns soldiers. Just because David Stearns makes a move doesn't mean it's good. And everyone's like, oh, you watch. Jonathan Scope will be great.
Yeah, he turned out to be terrible. He's doing good in Minnesota right now.
He turned out to be allergic to Milwaukee.
But I think the overall, except the time he hit the grand slam off Bumgarner. But I think the overall, the body of work by Stearns, pretty good.
Jonathan Scope, the way that he looked around and the way that he acted was like somebody who is very devout and they think they're guaranteed to get into heaven, right?
Yeah.
And then they die, and then they slowly realize they're in hell, but they still think it's like kind of a test or a joke, and they look around, and that like Jonathan Scope had no, he never wanted to be here.
Did you ever do that? I mean, have a job?
Go to hell?
No.
Not yet.
Well, in a job like this, you know, as a job for him. So he came here. Did you ever go to a job where, or lived in a place or whatever, and it was just like, God, what the hell am I doing here?
Get me out of here.
It's a bad fit. It doesn't work. It's happened to me where it's like, what am I? This thing is just not, you know, it's a bad fit for everybody.
Yeah, it was called the first 2 years of this show.
How about that third year?
That third year's good.
The whole third year's turned around, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking this is like 2007 for me.
Although you're the way you don't like when I impersonate old people might derail us back to.
Well, you know what? That's gonna or when you do the Joe Radio at 6:02.
The two touchdowns and an extra point.
Yeah, I don't need to hear that. Yeah. So, or when you sing on the radio.
Yeah, that I don't like.
Yeah,
that's a bad. I don't know where that came from. That's really bad. I apologize.
So, but I mean, we've all worked in a bad or been in a bad situation where it's like, what the hell, or a relationship or whatever. I think that was Jonathan Scope last year. Got here and for whatever reason did not fit in Milwaukee.
If that guy wants to hear some Stearns criticism, I've got a bunch ready to go in the back pocket today.
Well, I mean, I was thinking sometime today. Our team's not in the NBA Finals, as we should be talking about Game 3 of the NBA Finals tonight.
Not only should we be talking about it, we should be out there.
You know what? You're right. We'd be in Oakland tonight.
Talking about that. Yeah. I didn't remember that until my parents, who are going to Game 3 and 4, flew out to Oakland, and I have the Find a Friend app, and I go, what are they doing? And, oh, yeah, I was going to see them out there.
Yeah. So you have Find a Friend, so you have your family on there so you can find out where they are?
I got my brothers, I got my grandma, I got my wife, I got my parents.
The Find a Friend.
Some friends.
Sometimes it's inaccurate, though.
Sometimes it is, yeah.
Because I remember one time, Shannon and I were doing it, and I was buying her a Christmas present at Mayfair Mall, and it showed me like in a neighborhood around Mayfair Mall. She goes, "What are you doing on that street?" I was like, "I don't even know where that street is. I'm over here buying your Christmas present over at Mayfair Mall."
Just the other day, my wife was working out on the east side, and the dot had her at Capitol and 76.
Weird. How does that happen?
I don't know. Technology.
Yeah.
It shoots up to the sky.
There was one time with her, she was on her way home on 41, and it had her in Eden, which is outside of Fond du Lac. It's like Eden on a country road.
One time when we were engaged, I was driving up to go see my now wife, then fiance, and it had me in a lake, and she thought I was dead.
Yeah. So find a friend needs to step it up, unless they have, and this was a couple of years ago. They need to be more accurate on that because they're going to throw some scares into people.
Well, we're right here for you. You know where we are, 1250 on the AM, 105.7 on the FM, and on the radio.com app. And Travis Shaw is back in Milwaukee, and I think there are a few people that are as confident in themselves as Travis Shaw is in Travis Shaw. We'll hear from him and why he is not worried about your missing Keston Hira next on The Fan.
I'm not really too worried about that. I mean, it's unfortunate if they do that, but not really too worried about that. We don't.
I don't know what happened there. That is going to annoy the hell out of me. Hold on.
I'm not really too worried about that. I mean, it's unfortunate if they do that, but not really too worried about that. We don't even really play the same position. I mean, obviously, there's obviously different moves that affect that position, but I feel like I'm where I belong, and I'm ready to give this another shot. I know what type of hitter I am, and it's only been 130 at-bats or whatever it is, so I've made some adjustments, and I'm confident in those adjustments.
So that's Travis Shaw. Before the game yesterday, Chuck, you were there huddled around him in the dugout. Travis Shaw's always been a very confident guy. It's one of the reasons that I, you know, liked him so much when he came over here, because I talked to him and he said, I'm not going to be a platoon player. I'm good enough to not be a platoon player like I was in Boston. And he ended up earning the right to start every day. And then over the years, the Brewers have, you know, done different things where they've brought in another third baseman. So they moved Travis Shaw to second. This year, they did that again with Moustakas, although Travis Shaw playing third. And now, Travis Shaw, who comes back up from the Keston Hira demotion, as the only reason Hira was up was because Shaw got injured. Shaw's very confident that he's going to succeed and that, you know, fans will deal with it, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, he talked and, you know, he said that down to the minors, he hopefully straightened out a few things. He got better as with each at-bat, made adjustments. Some things didn't work for him. Some things did, and you know, even counsel before the game. Somebody in the media asked him a question about with Hira, and counsel said, "We got to remember, it was only Hira's been here for 2 weeks." That the media member asked counsel, "Hey, you know, Hira's such a big part of this team, and you know, he showed like you know was gloating about him." And counsel said, "Well, we got to kind of put that in perspective. It's he was only here 2 weeks, not shooting Hira down, but said." You know, the sample size is, I mean, you know, still 2 weeks. Travis Shaw's done it over 2 years.
Well, I mean, you just look at the numbers, Chuck. The Brewers have been outscored 16-0 when Keston Hira has been demoted.
Well, you know what? I guess, you know.
So, team chemistry was so shot that they couldn't score a run.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, although, you know, he came back and he was their offensive star.
Oh, it's Shaw?
Shaw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2-for-3 yesterday. Shaw, very confident in himself, said that he worked on some stuff down in the minors.
First 4 days was all, like, mechanical adjustments. I mean, I tried something the first game and didn't like it. Tried something different the second game, didn't like it. Tried something different the third game, didn't like it. Then mechanically found something that worked pretty well for me in Memphis. I'm not going to reveal what that was, but then found something else also in San Antonio. So the last 3 games I thought were really good.
And God forbid you tell us the secret to your success there, Travis.
Yeah, yeah. Which I didn't understand why. I mean, I don't know if he didn't want to give away a little secret to the opposing team or whatever, but he wouldn't say what he...
He couldn't say, like, I'm adjusting my hands different?
He wouldn't say any of that stuff.
Oh, the Marlins scouts will come right at you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
They'll know how to... attack you better?
Yeah. I don't know what he was kind of getting at there, but didn't want to reveal too much about how he changed if he fell into a bad mechanical flaw or what it was about. But he just said he made some changes, and eventually he feels like he's to a spot right now where he feels that he's going to have some success.
First four games, three, four games, obviously not very good, but I wasn't really too worried about results. They made that a priority when I left, that they weren't too focused on results either. And then the last six, seven games, I thought were actually pretty productive and did get some results.
So when he was down in the minors, he hit about 230. He did have a home run later in that process. And again, sometimes you just, you know, you never know when these guys are working on things and then working on actually getting results. Even last night when Corbin Burnes was out there, they were speculating on TV that, you know, maybe Burnes was working on stuff during the game. I mean, they had lost that game. Now, it sucks for Burnes because the last time that Corbin Burnes was out there, he was out there for a save. And then the next time they call upon him, he's out there for mop-up duty. And you look at Corbin Burnes' ERA on the season, and it's 9.79. Taylor Williams, by the way, with that start, he's up to 12.66. Just look at everybody's ERA that got in that game last night. Jacob Barnes is 6.62. Alex Claudio is 5.47. I mean, the bullpen, these are guys that you need to produce. You've got the Knebel injury. Jeffress is still slowly figuring things out. Obviously, you can go to Hader, but even he has blown a save or two. They need better production out of their bullpen. And then Chase Anderson. Yesterday, all we're doing is talking about Travis Shaw and Keston Hira, and then Chase Anderson's like, hey, guys, remember me? I give up a bunch of home runs. I know you said a lot of good things about me, but I'm going to go give up a bunch of home runs. So for a team that's in first place, man, tied for first after the Cubs win yesterday, 34-27, that's why it doesn't feel like they are, because there are still so many holes and weaknesses and tough performances from the squad.
Well, Alex Claudio at least lowered his ERA. He pitched a scoreless inning when there's no pressure whatsoever. Gave up a hit in his one inning of work, lowered his ERA to 5.47. So I guess that's the bright spot. Oh, Hernán Pérez kept his ERA at 0.00.
Yeah, two scoreless frames for him this season. So good for Perez.
The ball was just jumping off the bat last night in batting practice. And Donnie Baseball over in the Marlins, Donnie Baseball kind of mentioned that in the postgame, Don Mattingly. And
the Marlins have been like thinking of firing for the last 3 years.
Yeah, I feel like ever since he got hired there, that he's been on the, and they'll bring in the next guy, and he'll fail too. And
then
guy
Jeter will be like, oh, I can do both jobs.
I'm waiting for that to happen.
He'll come down.
Jeter's already ruined. I mean, the Miami people there are. I felt there's a lot of Miami Marlins media. I feel there's more media. Media from the Marlins in town covering than they have actually fans at their games. I mean, there was people there, and of course they're all gathered around Yelich, you know, because Yelich was, that they're still talking about that trade.
Well, the Marlins would be really good if they didn't make those trades.
They'd have one of the best outfielders in baseball.
They'd have Ozuna still. Mm-hmm. They could have Stanton still.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd have Real Muto. They'd be really good. They'd be a really good team, but
they have at least a good outfield. But
didn't want to pay guys and traded them all off.
Yeah, I mean, Jeter, coming from the big spending Yankees, he realizes Miami, and I told you yesterday, Miami shouldn't even have a baseball franchise. That should have been retracted long ago. But you know, as a thing, I mean, you're a big city like Miami, and they can't even, their baseball stadium's half the size of Miller Park, and they can't even fill that. So, I mean, they give 11 runs. Still look at that box score last night. I mean, it just looks so unusual. I mean, if someone told you the final score last night was 16-0, you would have guessed. You would have guessed with Pablo Lopez on the mound for the Marlins that it would have been a Brewer victory, 16-0.
Yeah, no, I think the Miami Marlins were as shocked as anybody at that score.
I mean, that clubhouse, that's probably the happiest that clubhouse has been in Miami. I was in there last night, and it was like music. People were singing and dancing around and all that last night. It was like, wow, okay. I'm sure this locker room hasn't seen much of this one in the last 20 years.
Was Jeter in there, or did you not see him last night?
No, I didn't. Was he? I didn't see him in town.
I don't know.
I don't know if he travels. I don't think he travels, but 19 hits for the Marlins. That just it only counts as one loss. But, man, for everybody who went out to the game last night, on a night they had the roof open, Bart, it was a great night to be out there. It was. Now, I got out there at about 2:30, and it was kind of cold and all that. And I'm like, huh, the roof will probably be closed. But the night got The weather got better as the night went on, and it was just a wonderful night to be out there.
You had a guy come up to you at the game and say, we weren't hard enough on David Stearns over the last few years when he makes bad moves. I would like to placate that gentleman. I would like to satisfy him coming up momentarily, because there's one area where the Brewers just seem to not care in the entire tenure of David Stearns, and I think that they need to adjust that very quickly. And we'll get into that coming up here momentarily. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. The Brewers lose 16-0. 414-799-1250. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryant-Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Bart. That's Chuck. You may not know, because you probably turned it off last night, but the final score was 16-0 in favor of the Miami Marlins. I saw a lot of people upset. I told you they would be. That Marlins logo looks just like the Brewers logo. It's a blatant ripoff. It's stupid. It's annoying. The Brewers should change their logo anyway.
Well, you know, I never buy anything with that.
Back to the ball and glove.
Yeah, with that M on it. I don't have anything with that on there, I don't think. I like the ball and glove. The M, that M, I don't think they've had that for like 20 years now. I don't know if this ever really caught on with people. I don't know if it's caught on with the Brewer organization even.
Well, every time I go to Miller Park, I see more and more things that used to have the M logo have the ball and glove logo.
Yeah.
And that merchandise has to sell better. I'm wearing something with the ball and glove logo right now.
Well, when they first brought that back in 2007, it was going to be only a Sunday thing. The ball and cap with the pinstripes. But now they're wearing it more than just Friday nights, because they switched to the Friday nights. And I there's been other times in the ball and cap logo they wear a lot.
Yeah, I would like to see the Brewers change their logo. The Marlins did in the offseason, and again, that M looks pretty much exactly like the Brewers' M. So, no points for originality for the Miami Marlins. The one thing that I've been saying about the Brewers for the last few years, and we had a guy come up to you and yesterday at the game, right, he says, you guys aren't hard enough on David Stearns.
He was kind of walking around, and he said, Chuck, I had to ask you, you guys aren't tough enough on David Stearns. He said, I don't think he gets enough criticism. And I'm like, well, I mean, he's done a pretty good job. He took him to the NLCS last year, a franchise that's pretty much been morbid for most of its 50 years, okay, other than a couple of successes, has no championships, got him to a division title, okay, last year. For only the third time in franchise history, I said, man, that's going to happen. Yeah, of course he's made some mistakes, but he's made a lot of successes too and turned it around quicker than we thought.
David Stearns has made a lot of wonderful moves, and I'm going to tell you some of them right now and then tell me what they have in common, okay? David Stearns went out and traded four prospects for Christian Yelich, who won an MVP.
Amazing trade.
Okay. David Stearns went out when the market was slow and said, you know what, I'll bring Lorenzo Cain in here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pay him. I'll bring him in here. Lorenzo Cain should be a gold glove winner in center field. So that's another one.
I mean, is he putting up all-star numbers offensively? No, but he's a consistent top of the order guy for the Brewers.
Let's see. Another good David Stearns move. David Stearns went out and signed, or traded for at least, or found Mike Moustakas last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
On a cheap contract. And then was able to re-sign him for a one-year deal. So get him really undervalue, David Stearns. And he also did the same thing with Yasmani Grandal.
Mm-hmm.
So very creative, very good at, I would say, trading for people, and very good at seeing what the market has to offer and then kind of exploiting that. So of those four moves that I mentioned...
Well, there's even more, I think.
Okay.
I'm going to say Jesus Aguilar.
Oh.
I mean, he... Okay, struggling this year, Bart, but still 35 homers, all-star last year. I mean, they got him for nothing from Cleveland off the waiver wire. And even the signing of Eric Thames.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, Eric Thames is giving him some, let's face it, the guy's giving him some productive at-bats, home runs, big home runs for this team.
All right, I'm going to have you stop right there. So we've mentioned Yelich, Kane,
mm-hmm.
Moose, Grandal, Aguilar, and Thames.
And I'll throw one more.
No, don't.
I have to.
I don't want you to ruin it.
Travis Shaw.
Oh, sure. Travis Shaw. Yeah, I get traded
okay.
for Travis Shaw.
I mean, he's hitting 174, but some big at-bats, big heart of the order guy the last 2 years.
Okay, so we've mentioned Yelich and Kane and Shaw and Aguilar and Thames. Mm-hmm. And Moose and Grandal.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot.
What do all those guys have in common? Or what are they not?
They're not homegrown?
What position do they not play?
Oh, well, pitching, yeah.
We didn't mention one pitcher.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of been, I think, an area where David Stearns doesn't, I mean, for 2.5 years, I've been saying go out and get an ace. And, no, you don't have to get an ace. You got young guys or, you know, they'll go get Wade Miley. All right, yeah, the Wade Miley thing was good. So re-sign him. He's still pitching well.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't gone and made that big, really, splash at pitcher. And right now, like, who's their five-man rotation right now?
Well, by the way, another guy, Josh Hader.
Well, that was...
No, that was the previous regime he got from Houston. Okay.
Yeah. Stearns traded Josh Hader to the Brewers.
Yes. Well, he was the assistant GM there, yeah.
Yeah.
But their philosophy with the Brewers is homegrown pitching, which they haven't done yet under Stearns. Guys who grow guys in their organization, because they don't want to go out there and spend 3 years, $75 million on a pitcher. They want to homegrown their guys. So if anything, they haven't come up with that homegrown pitcher. They signed Yelich Chacin last year. I mean, another one. That looked to be a pretty good signing. He's struggling now, but he pitched Game 7 of the NLCS. He was good enough to pitch Game 7 last year. That turned out to be a pretty good signing, although, again, this year not paying off dividends.
I mean, the Brewers in the last 10, 15 years have gone and paid pitchers, and then it hasn't worked out.
Yeah.
Matt Garza, who was chirping online last night. I don't know if you saw any of his tweets. Chirping about Keston Hiura getting sent down and said, mm-hmm. I pitched through all this misdiagnosed stuff. And so he's still angry. Jeff Suppan, big signing. Mm-hmm. Looks like it might work out.
Yeah.
Kind of
2007.
Fails. Yeah. They trade for Sean Markham. Looks like it might work out. We remember Game 6 of 2011. Kyle Loesch, big signing. Looks like it might work
terrible.
Out. And then it doesn't. So the Brewers, I think, maybe under the Attanasio regime, maybe he's the one that's hesitant to go and pay more money for pitching because of how he's been burned in the past. But with Stearns right now, I just feel like, and I feel like this has been the way of the Brewers for the last few years, and ultimately this could be, you know, it could be what cost them against the Dodgers, and it could be what cost them as they chase for another Central Division crown this year, is that it just seems like it's a lot of patchwork. It just seems like the pitching's a lot of patchwork. Like when I said, what's the five-man rotation right now? They don't have one because guys are hurt, and now you're banking on Jimmy Nelson, who God knows what he's going to give you tonight. He could easily get – Jimmy Nelson could give you 8 scoreless as well as he could blow up in the first inning.
Oh, yeah.
We've got no idea what Nelson's going to do
But
tonight.
I feel like any of the five starters are the same way. I mean, Woodruff, we saw him blow up the other day. They've tried to go with the homegrown talent, a starting rotation, and it hasn't worked so far. Okay, Woodruff has been good. Freddie Peralta, who they got in a trade from Seattle, but, you know, okay, young arm. That hasn't worked out in the starting rotation. He's going to get another start here, but that then worked out.
Is he going to start Thursday? We don't know who's starting Thursday.
I think that might be Thursday. I think he might be getting the start
there. Because it's Nelson tonight, and they haven't announced after tonight yet.
But these three young guys who were the start of the rotation this year, and Burns, okay, he was supposed to be the best of the three, they thought. And, I mean, he's been so bad. He was so bad as a starter giving up home runs, they had to put him in the bullpen. So they tried with those three young guys there, and so far only Woodruff, who's coming off a bad outing, has been the only successful one. But they want these pitchers from the minor leagues to produce guys like that so they don't have to go out and spend a ton of money on guys.
Well, and that's a good thing to want, but they also didn't have, like, a backup plan for that to not work. I don't think the Brewers really had that. They had, as we know, they had Woodruff and Peralta and Burns, as you just mentioned, guys that they were banking on. Now, when you're a team that's in a rebuild or when you're a team that isn't expected to compete for the Central, you can have three guys that are young, start, and hope that they kind of figure things out over time. But when you're trying to contend and also trying to develop those guys, Corbin Burns is not only is he getting jerked around from starter to the minors to being a reliever, now he's getting jerked around in, like, different circumstances.
Well,
you're closing the game the other night.
Yeah.
You come in a nothing game yesterday. So it's just kind of...
But he's not getting jerked around when you have a 10 ERA.
But he's in no place to be consistent. He has no consistent role.
But here's the deal, Bart. They gave him a chance to start. they started up a few games, and they had to get him out of there to save him from himself because he was so bad. I mean, he's giving up 3 home runs a game. They can't have that, man. They're trying to contend. So they figured there's something wrong with him, and they do. So they got to put him out in the bullpen. Even last night he pitches, and he was terrible again last night.
But now he's in a different role than he was 2 nights ago. He's in a different relief role.
Because he's got to get straightened out. He has got to get straightened out, man. His role on the team is, and he closed out the game the other night because they were really down at pitching. The Sunday, he had to close out that game because they exhausted the bullpen the day before on Saturday, so they had to have him close out, and he got the 2 outs. But the confidence level in Burns right now is not very high. They were, as we all were, when he was closing out that game Sunday, we were holding his breath. He's not going to find himself in that spot, but they had to do that out of necessity.
All right, let me ask you this. How many pitchers, how many starting pitchers for the Brewers do you have confidence in right now?
Oh, God. I like I just said, any one of those guys can go up, Bart, and if they gave up what Chase Anderson gave up last night, or they pitched 5 or 6 scoreless innings, I'd feel, I mean, you can get either one. I'm surprised Zach Davies has been as consistent as he has.
He's a Cy Young candidate.
Yeah. I guess he's the only guy.
Well, Woodruff.
Well, Woodruff, look, yeah. He gave up a big number on Saturday, I want to say. But, you know, he's pitching pretty good, but he had a bad outing the other day. Yeah, they have no lockdown number one guy right now.
So I'd say I for this sake of the argument, I have confidence in Woodruff. I have confidence in Davies. Chase Anderson's been pitching better, but he had the home run problem that he has had when he's been a starter, and he had that again last night. Freddie Peralta, maybe he gets a start again. You know, he's been all over the place. Corbin Burns, who's got really good stuff. We see it. We saw it the other night in that save, but his ERA is too close to 10 for him to be a starter consistently.
Exactly.
You had Jolie Chacin, who is injured. So what do the Brewers do? Well, they didn't have a plan for if it didn't work out. So desperately, let's go and, let's bring Gio Gonzalez back. Okay, they bring him back. Now he's got a dead arm. Okay, we need somebody else. Jimmy Nelson hasn't pitched in 2 years at the major league level, and we have no idea. Let's throw him out there. Let's see what is going to happen like tonight. The Brewers just seem to be playing patchwork and trying to Band-Aid this pitching problem for the last couple of years. They've been able to get through it. They have been able to contend. They have been able to get to the NLCS and get to Game 7, one game away from the World Series. I don't know how much longer they can keep playing with fire. That can burn you at any time.
Okay, now, if they would have did what you did last year and signed Yu Darvish, they'd be staring at $150 million for a guy who's been terrible for the Cubs. I mean, is that what you wanted that move, and look how bad that was.
I wanted them to, name anybody. I wanted them to trade for Sonny Gray.
Yeah, okay.
I wanted them to trade for Jose Quintana. Okay. I even wanted them to just trade for, run-of-the-mill Kevin Gausman. Just go, you've got to have,
But their plan was to go with those young guys.
But they didn't have a backup plan for it. So if you're going to got to have a backup plan.
What would have been your backup plan?
I would have went out and got some veteran pitcher. I would have, why is Keuchel unsigned? Why is Dallas Keuchel unsigned? The draft's over. Sign him.
But
what are we doing?
Okay, here's the deal.
You want to contend or not?
Okay.
Does this team want to win or not?
Now, Keuchel, unsigned, there's a reason why he's not signed, because I think there's 30 teams in baseball who look at it and say, man, this guy, he's not worth paying $15 million for. If he was that good, he would have been. Teams would have given up a draft pick, but I think it's they look at it and say, "Jesus, is it really worth? Is this guy going to be better? I mean, has he seen his better days?" I just think that's the way it is.
We're just playing patchwork with the pitching for the entire David Stearns tenure.
Well, here's the deal. I'm not saying you're completely wrong on that.
I'm trying to criticize him, and you don't seem like you want to.
Well, because it's the pitch, because he committed. Here's his problem.
What about that guy you met at Miller Park?
Here's the problem.
I'm trying to do him a solid.
Here's the problem. Well, I mean, not if he's wrong. Here's the problem. The Brewers committed to 3 young guys in that starting rotation. They probably went a little too far in that, but they felt that the time was right for all 3 of those guys. They just happened to be contenders, but going with 3 guys and two of the three failed as starters. Two of the three failed. I mean, but the you thought after the way they pitched last year that they were ready to go. Well, I mean, you can't have a back. I mean, a backup plan. If you had veterans, you signed veterans and traded for veteran pitchers in the offseason, none of those guys would have been in the rotation.
Keeping Wade Miley would have been a start.
Yeah, yeah. But then Burns wouldn't have been a starter, or Peralta wouldn't have got a chance to start, and people would have been crying about that.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart. That's Chuck. Your chance at Summerfest tickets today. Ask us anything. We need questions because we might do it a couple times today with the amount of questions that usually come in when we give away a prize. So tweet us at 1057FM The Fan. Use the hashtag AskCW. Any question you have for Chuck or myself, fire away at 1057FM The Fan. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. Summerfest tickets, Violent Femmes tickets on the line as well. Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.